Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table is Mary Ann Williams, also known around the table as Mama. Mama, how are you this evening?
Yes, good evening, and good evening, my PRF family. I am very excited and appreciative of all of you spending time with us this evening. And you are welcome to join us at the PRF table, and we would like to hear your opinion. Amen.
Amen. You know, we want to hear not just your opinion, but we also want to hear, you know, what's going on with you in this area that we're going to be talking about this evening. So if you are, if you're listening to us online and you want to jump into the conversation, just call our online number, which is really the number for the show, is 347-215-7934, 347-215-7934. When you call into that number, we will see you light up on the switchboard if you just press one on your dial pad, and then we'd be more than happy to address your questions or concerns or even your comments. So we thank you. We have a couple other hosts of the show that are not with us tonight. They may pop in or take a seat at the table, so we do not want to forget about them because they are a part of this team. That is Reverend Warren Feaster down in Florida, Sister Adia or Minister Adia Sanders over in Texas, and Shatara Sherwood all the way over there in Arizona. So, look, we're going to get down to the show. Tonight we're going to be talking about something called Challenge 57, and we have a very special guest for you tonight. You know, I'm kind of glad that we stopped putting, Mama, the topics of what we're going to be talking about, because you know what that means? That means if you have an interest to do better with your possessions, resources, and your finances, you're not looking for that one specific thing. You're just really saying, okay, God, let me come to the table. So if I come to the table, you got what I need. And so we're going to be dealing with what Challenge 57 is. We're going to bring our guest in just a moment. Last week, for the last couple of weeks, you know how we do here at the PR table, especially leading up into November. You know, we're always here around this time frame really trying to get people geared up, because we know that when the holidays come around, and a lot of times, just to be quite frank, Mama, people just start losing their mind. They start losing their mind because they start thinking – not with a lot of intelligence, or they start thinking a lot of times with some guilt or with some shame, and people spend money like they've never spent it before. And when they spend money like that, then we always see what we see every February. Y'all going to get tired of me saying it, and it's okay. I just want you to get tired of me saying it by changing what you do. And so we know that February marks the month in this community that we live in, as well as in others, just nationwide, of where most bankruptcies are filed every year in February. And because bankruptcies are open records, these are records that you can just go down to the local bankruptcy court, you can type somebody's name in there, and you can see if they file for bankruptcy, and then you're able to see what type of things they've done to actually be in this position of having to file for bankruptcy. And you'll see, and we had our special guest that came on from the bankruptcy court several years ago to give us these statistics and to talk with us, that these are things that are going on and happening from the time of November and December that's catching up to them in February. So we already say here, we always say here on the PR table, that God has created us to be a proactive people, not a reactive people, which means that there's some times that we're going to have to react, but it shouldn't be the rule. It should be when we just have to react at something, Mama, it should be the exception. It shouldn't be the rule. And so let me bring in right now our special guest. We have Miss Leslie Baldwin. I'm going to let her give a little bit of background about herself, if she will, before we go into Challenge 57. But again, family, let's just welcome Miss Leslie Baldwin to the PRF table. Leslie, how are you this evening?
Hi, Dr. Dunlap. I'm doing well, thank you. And hi, Mama Mary, how are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. Miss Leslie, how are you?
I am wonderful, doing wonderful. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show today. Just to share a little bit about me, my background, I am from Columbus, Georgia, born and raised, went to college in Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota. My career has been in human resources. I've been a human resources professional for over 20 years, and I own my own firm. It's called RTB Solutions, and I provide HR consulting services to companies, helping them with everything from their hiring to their firing and everything in between. And then I have the wonderful opportunity of working with my husband, who comes in and he provides the benefits that most companies need. He is a financial advisor with Transamerica Financial Advisors and WFG, and he does retirement planning, life insurance solutions, anything that can help individuals and companies help their employees and themselves win financially. So that's a little bit about me.
Outstanding. And just so everybody kind of understands, how do you get these guests? Well, let me just tell you today, and I don't know if I shared this with everybody last week. Normally during the last couple of weeks of the year, for those who have been with us over these last couple of years, you know that we do not have any shows, we don't do any PRF work, and we really just allow that to be a time for us as those who labor all year long here on the PRF table and with the PRF Institute and with the ministry. And we just take that time just to get away with our families and just to get into a place where we can hear from God, especially myself as executive director. And God just pushed that timeline up a couple of months, Mama. He got me into a place where it was just nothing but a bunch of writing. And Leslie, I don't know, well, you probably don't know this, but during one of those years, I think it was last year, I wrote 3 books during that time that God had me removed.
Wow.
They're not published, but they're definitely in a raw form, if you will. Not too raw, but they're raw that I would give to anybody right now. But it was really just about getting it all out. And one of the things I received some information last week about Challenge 57, and because I was so engulfed in what God had me doing and writing last week, it wasn't until today that, you know, the Spirit just spoke to me and said, take a look at this. And when I looked at this, when I saw what Challenge 57 was about, I was like, oh, my goodness, are you serious? And God was like, yep. This is like something that we've been waiting for with PRF. And let me tell you why. And I know I didn't share this at the 4 p.m. show. I shared a little bit. But here's the deal. We have 7 courses within PRF, 7. Mm-hmm. And I may mention them a little bit later. In those 7 courses, one of the things I've been working on over the last couple of months was our catalog for 2017. So we have structured 33 individual lessons out of those 7 courses. Just blew my mind. I was like, I did not realize we had that much because we have been focusing on wills. Last year, God said for the last part of the year, last about 7 months almost, he had us focus strictly on credit and wills, credit and debt and wills. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's all I want you to talk about for the rest of the year. And I was like, Lord, okay, we got a couple of lessons in credit, in debt, we got a couple of lessons in wills. How can we stretch this out possibly for months? And we had more than enough. That was the setup to writing the books, because the 3 books that I wrote was on credit, debt, and wills. So there's something to be said about just being obedient to what God is doing. And so in another act of obedience, as I was doing whatever I was doing this morning, something spoke to me about Challenge 57. And it deals with insurance and I knew, I mean, y'all know how when you just know what you know, it don't matter what anybody else say, right? I know I'm saved no matter what you say. You know what I'm saying? No matter how I act, I'm still saved. You know, it was that same way with this, with Challenge 57. And when I started looking at, you know, some of the numbers, it tripped me out because when you deal with wills, the statistics for wills are around the same as they are for Challenge 57.
Yeah.
55% of people in America, average, do not have wills. Hispanics are at like 26%. African Americans are at like 32%. And white people, Caucasians, are a little bit higher. They're the ones who have it more. But there's still a lot of people that don't have it. And so from my understanding of Challenge 57, it's a really good program. It's something that we need to be involved in. It doesn't matter where you live. I know you heard, those of you who are listening, you heard her say she's from the Columbus, Georgia area. But let me tell you, if 57% of the people in this country don't have insurance, or close to 55% do not have wills, it does not matter where you live, you need to get
That's
this information.
Right.
So I just want to kind of turn it over to you, Leslie, and just, you know, just give us whatever you want to give us about, you know, what Challenge 57 is, you know, in case somebody say, you know, I got to go ahead and roll out in the next 15 minutes, then they got the crux of what Challenge 57 is, and then we can just go from there and just continue our conversation.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Challenge 57 is a campaign, and it's a community-wide campaign, and it really can be a national campaign because that is a national statistic. The number 57 comes from the fact that 57% of people do not have adequate life insurance protection, and that 57% is made up of 34% of people don't have any life insurance at all. 13% of people have it, but they are not sure that they actually have enough. And 10% of people know they don't have enough. So that makes up 57%. And so the goal of Challenge 57 is to challenge those people that don't have adequate insurance protection to get the life insurance protection that they and their families need. So that is the bottom line of what Challenge 57 is. We want to challenge that 57% of people to get covered. And, again, that is a national statistic. Now, I did take it and apply it to the community that I'm in, the greater Columbus, Phoenix City metropolitan area. But really, again, it's a national statistic. So it's not just something that impacts one community. It impacts all of us. Do you want me to go on? I'm sorry.
Well, I just want to reiterate to folks that you just heard it, that it's a national statistic. And that's the part that I like, because at the end of the day, people all over this country are hurting. And mm-hmm. something that I thought about, we talked about, there were several scriptures that God gave me to coincide with our conversation tonight, which are scriptures that we've used in several different lessons. One of them is out of Proverbs, Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And you and I both know that with insurance is the number one way that a certain demographic leaves wealth for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very big segment of the population that understands insurance is important. It's not just about burying my dead. It's about passing on wealth. If we go to the scripture in Deuteronomy 8:18, the Lord is the one. The Lord gives the power to give wealth. He gives us the strength to get wealth. Now, Mama mentioned something about the Bible said, "In all thy getting, get understanding." Proverbs, right? So, if all our getting, get understanding, then we have to get the understanding that in order to pass on wealth to our children and our children's children, then we have to put something in place that's going to make it work. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I realized that a whole bunch of people by a certain age have made $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. How many years does it take to work to make $1 million? Well, of course, if you work in minimum wage, then, you know, that's one thing. But if you're making $50,000 per year and you work for 20 years, that's $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
If you make $25,000 a year and you work for 40 years, you've made $1 million. But what you can't do is pass on that $1 million because you've had to spend so much of it. So how do we get to that point? I know insurance is definitely a key way. So we have to be willing to do that. What are some of the problem areas that you have found out or noticed or people, you know, have said to you of why people do not have insurance.
Absolutely. There are many reasons that people don't purchase life insurance, but a 2015 survey that was conducted last year by LIMRA, of the top five reasons that people don't purchase it, number five was they are not sure how much they need or what type to purchase. So, of course, to me, that screams education. People have to be educated. That's the top number five of the top five reasons. So education is going to be key, and that's one of the goals of Challenge 57 is to educate. We have three goals: to educate, empower, and execute. Now, some of the other reasons that people don't purchase, number four on that list was they don't trust insurance companies. And, of course, naturally because they may have had some bad experiences or heard of people who've had bad experiences. And then number three was they don't need or have enough, or they already think they have enough. And that's because they haven't counted the cost or even considered the impact of a loss of their income to their family, or the fact that it is the easiest way to transfer wealth, like you just said. And then the number two reason is that other financial priorities win out over purchasing life insurance. You know, many of those financial priorities are basic living expenses, but for some people, it's basic costs of cell phones, cable, or internet. You know, and it's really sad when you can say that, you know, for less than the cost of your cell phone bill, you could actually get life insurance coverage. But instead, we prioritize our cell phone over that cost. But that's the number two reason is other financial priorities. And then the number one reason the survey indicated that people don't purchase life insurance is that they think it's too expensive. And the reality is consumers actually tend to overestimate the cost because, you know, one of the things we're doing for this campaign is, you know, shedding a light on that actual cost. And we're doing some marketing of the fact that, you know, most people could, especially in their 30s, can get the amount of coverage that their family could utilize for about $30 a month. So, you know, those are the top five reasons that people don't purchase life insurance.
And you know what? We were talking about this a little bit earlier on the 4 p.m. show. What we're talking about, so everybody really understands, we're not talking about condemning anybody, right? This is not about condemning. Y'all know how we do on the PRF table. This is not about condemning anybody for not having life insurance.
What we're
trying to do is to let you know that if you do have it, if you do put your affairs in order, right? 2 Kings 21 said, the Lord said, set your affairs in order, for you shall surely die. We know that there's one definite. I mean, we know. I believe when I die, I'm going to heaven because that's faith, right? And that's what I choose to believe. But the reality is I'm rolling up out of here someday. Don't want to go right now, God, but someday it's going to happen, whether it's going to come by by death of this physical body or whether it's going to come through, you know, when Jesus comes back, you know, hopefully it's the latter. But if we know that that is a definite, we all pass away. Right. So if we know that that is a definite, then it only makes sense that we focus on the things that are the definite. And once you take care of it, that's the greatest thing about this, Leslie. Once we take care of that, we don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter after that because we have it taken care of. Not saying that we don't need to go back and be good stewards over that by making sure that we make sure our beneficiaries are up to date and all that kind of stuff. But once we have it, that's it. All I do is pay my bill every month. And I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm good. I know I ain't got to worry about it. If it comes before Jesus, if I go before Jesus come, I'm good. I know that my family has something. You know, they're going to have $22 to spend a month for the next 85 years. You know I've taken care of them, right? But at least I'm giving them something. And something that just came up was about, you know, beneficiaries. You mentioned that, you know, there's some things that go on in relationships that could be avoided when it comes to insurance. And I think it's worth us talking just briefly about that part, because if I don't trust the members in my family, if I don't trust you, I ain't going to leave you nothing. If I don't trust the insurance person, I'm not going to give you my $20 a month for this policy, nor am I even going to say, let me sit down with you and give you my personal information, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the – something concrete that somebody can do? I know you have some workshops coming up. Maybe this is a good opportunity to talk about the workshops that's coming up that you're going to have in the Columbus, Georgia area. So people can say, okay, look, I know I can get somewhere, for those who, you know, only listen to the first half of this show.
Definitely. So, like I said, there are three goals for Challenge 57. It's educate, empower, and execute. And with education, we will be holding what's called Life Insurance and Estate Planning 101 workshops. And those workshops are specifically to increase awareness when it comes to life insurance and estate planning. So it's no company-specific or product-specific information. It is basic information to increase awareness for consumers on what are the types of life insurance and what are the actual tasks that are involved in creating an estate plan. So that first workshop that we're having here in the Columbus, Georgia area is October 27th. It's at 6:30 p.m. at the North Columbus Library. And the goal, again, is to educate, because we want to ensure that we are increasing public awareness, because we know that one of the reasons people don't purchase it is because they're not sure what type to purchase or they're not sure how much they need. So that's key, is to educate. And then, of course, our goal is also with those workshops to empower them, that once they've been, that awareness has increased, that they'll be empowered with more confidence to actually go out and take action, which is that third goal to execute, which is to help them execute a plan to put something in place. So, yes, we definitely want to ensure that people are increasing their knowledge and awareness, because we know that once someone's more confident about what they know, they are more willing to take action.
That's good. That's good. And think about it, y'all, what we're talking about. We're talking about putting things in place so that you have something to leave to your families. We're talking about the peace of mind, you know. People want the peace of God all day long. We want to operate in that space where we have the peace of God. Well, you know, what we do in this earth is not all spiritual. I mean, we're not all walking around with angel wings. We're dealing with real life situations. I have a very good friend. Here's a good story, because there's good, and I wouldn't dare have him to come on because of what just happened in his family. But I had a good friend of mine. Strong brother in Christ, just lost his grandmother. And we were together on Saturday, and it happened on Sunday. I mean, it was just like damn. And when I talked to him maybe Monday, here's what he tells me. Grandmama put everything in place. Now, she was like 92. She put everything in place like 3 years ago. There is nobody fussing. She has everything down to the T, the type of white dress, which white dress she wanted to be buried in. Nobody has the casket. All that stuff is already taken care of and paid for. You know, that's another
that's
part
wonderful.
Of it, right?
Yeah.
So every time I've talked to this brother this week, here's the conversation. Here's what I didn't have to minister to him in. I did not have to minister to him in the area of, man, my low-down cousin, know they got all this money, but they don't want to help out. Or my drunk uncle, you know, if he stopped spending his money on alcohol, then he would have a job. I ain't hearing none of those stories. None of those stories are coming out, because this is what's really going on so much in America right now. If we don't highlight the good stories, and that's one of the barriers that I've seen, that people say, oh, man, I don't want to deal with that. So there are good stories out there, and we definitely have to be the ones. I guess we have to be the champions, to use a word from Challenge 57. We got to be a champion of, here's the good things that can happen when you have life insurance. One of the things we talked about earlier was how, you know, sometimes there's some confusion. And when we do our workshops, our learning sessions, one of the questions on the assessment form we have, it asks a question, do you have life insurance or do you have a will? And then there's another question, do you have life insurance? And then another one says, do you think that you need to have a will if you have life insurance or vice versa? Because a lot of times people think, all I need to have is one or the other. And what you put in your life insurance policy trumps what you put inside your will. And so again, this is part of that education piece. So we can't, it's like having a peanut without the butter, right?
Yeah.
It's like the ham without the burger. I mean, we can't have it just lopsided. So as you're talking, Leslie, about the insurance piece, those other parts of it are critically important. But can you assure people that they don't have to do everything all at one time? I mean, can they hear that from you? Because they've heard that from me. Look, let's just deal with what we're going to deal with right now and get to that other stuff. But, you know, maybe they tired of hearing it from me, Leslie. I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, repetition, that's the best way to actually learn something. So hopefully they hear it from you and they'll hear it from others, and that's the best way for us to get this word out. But you're absolutely right. When it comes to having a will, your beneficiary that you've named for your life insurance, for your 401k, your IRA, any retirement vehicles you have, those beneficiaries that you designated on those particular accounts will be who that money goes to, and it has nothing to do with what you've put in your will. And, of course, a will is just one aspect of your estate plan, and so that's what we're educating on, is that there are many tasks involved in putting together an estate plan, and you don't have to do it all in one sitting. You know, you can work on it and chip away at it and put, you know, the most important pieces in place and keep working at getting that estate plan put together, because it's a series of tasks. You know, it's creating your will, if necessary, making a trust fund. And I always talk about how important that is when it comes to having special needs children. You know, many of us may have autistic children or people that are special needs and disabled that rely on us and may receive disability, and you want to ensure that you put a special needs trust in place to help care for those children if you happen to pass away. But it's also naming a guardian for living dependents, identifying who's going to be the executor or executrix of your will, making sure those beneficiaries are up to date on your 401k, your IRAs, your life insurance, and, you know, maybe even planning funeral arrangements like your friend whose grandmother took care of that, you know, so they don't have to worry about it. But it's also creating an advance directive. What if you're unable to speak and you're incapacitated and something has happened to you, you were in a car accident, and people need to know whether you want it to be, you know, resuscitate or do not resuscitate. You know, those things are important so that your loved ones know what you would desire if you're unable to speak for yourself. That's a part of an estate plan, as well as that healthcare power of attorney, you know, because your advance directive can't cover everything. So what are those things that who would speak on your behalf, so that the doctors know what you would want to happen? And then, of course, one of the other most important pieces of an estate plan is your power of attorney. Who would handle your financial affairs if you're unable to do it or if you passed away? So those are very important pieces. And again, they don't have to be done all in one sitting, but you need to be working towards it, you know, checking it off so that you know you put these things in place.
Wow, wow. Well, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick moment, I think. We're going to let everybody just get up from the table, stretch their legs, get a glass of water, whatever you do when we take a little break. So we'll be right back, and hopefully, Leslie, you can stick with us. We're going to go to a quick interlude and come back and just dig a little bit more into this whole I'm going to call it a movement, Movement of Challenge 57, because
yes.
I have not heard of anybody else doing anything like this in this time of where we are in this country, in my community, the Universal Church in America, and the churches in the Columbus, Georgia, Phoenix City area, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, North Carolina, all around this country. This is a challenge that I think everybody should pay attention to and just get on board. One of the things that I did earlier was I started inviting people on Facebook to the Facebook page. So, again, we're going to take a little quick break. We're going to talk about how people can actually get involved when we come back, and we're going to let Kendra the Family Stone talk to us about All My People, because all of us need this challenge 57. We'll be right back.
Story is, want for my brother what I want for myself, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Come on. Uh-huh.
I want all my people around me, everybody living good, everybody eating good, everybody should. I want all my people around. Simple too, just like patience, sharing is a virtue. Show folks where you stand, lend a hand when you can to your fellow man. Over plan for the day when you can work the way you used to. I want all my people around me, everybody living good.
For my brother, what I want for myself. I want for my sis, what I want for my mother. Was an undercover thugger trying to get to the wealth, to the thug life. Put my brother undercover. Now one of us gotta be around for the love of her. Turn my life around and I'll spread love to others. I'm the one serving you facts, was the one serving you butter. Please be mindful of some Judas to the mother.
Let's go. All my people,
living good.
I want all my people around me to have life insurance. Oh, we back on the air? My bad, y'all. So we are back here at the PRF table. I just wanted to make sure I just put that out there. That's Kendra and the Family Stone. Those are my family from Philly. So I just had to play them because I just felt that was just something we just had to do. So look, we are talking about Challenge 57. We have Miss Leslie Baldwin, who is here. She is the visionary of Challenge 57, and We just want to give her an opportunity as we go into the last half hour of the show to talk about how can we be champions for this. What are some things that we need to do for people who are fortunate? You know, and I say fortunate, Leslie, right? Because everybody's not fortunate enough to have life insurance. We want everybody to have it.
Yeah.
But we know that some people have not taken necessary steps in advance. And so now certain things have happened, certain health conditions, and it becomes a little bit tougher. It's not a lost cause, but it becomes a little tougher. So for people who have life insurance, what can we do to be a champion for Challenge 57 in particular? What are some steps that we can take?
Yes, absolutely. A part of the challenge for Challenge 57 is to become a champion. And a champion is someone who's willing to actually have those tough conversations with the people they know, or even some people they may not know, you know, that they just, they're acquaintances with, but they're willing to ask them, do you have life insurance coverage? And if not, join the challenge. We want you to get covered. And make sure that you contact someone who can help you get covered. So that's a champion. And we want to reward and recognize those champions for having those tough conversations and asking their loved ones, making sure that they have coverage, and if not, making sure that they work with someone to get covered. And the way that we'll do that, of course, is one way is they can join the challenge by going to the challenge57.com webpage. They can join the challenge, complete the information by joining the challenge, and someone will reach out to them and help them with getting coverage. And the more people that you challenge, we will do a drawing every month for a Visa gift card for that biggest champion in your community. So those are champions. We also have what's called Challenge 57 Ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who is really willing to support and promote Challenge 57 by either hosting or conducting a life insurance and estate planning 101 seminar or workshop in their facility, their church, their community center, because it can be anywhere, their place of employment, whatever it is, that they are willing to host it. Some people may be willing to conduct one, you know, and I would work with them to do that. Some of people maybe insurance producers, because, of course, this is 57% of Americans. And in our community, the greater Columbus Phoenix City metropolitan area, that's 134,000 people. So not one person can do this by themselves. It takes a collaboration and a partnership to do it. So, you know, my husband's firm, WFG, as well as Country Financial, Quincy Wade, here in the community, have teamed up and they're working together to help get people covered. And then, of course, we're looking for attorneys as well that are willing to be able to work with people to help them get a will put in place. So it's a collaborative effort, not just one firm or one company. It's a collaboration. And, of course, also financially through sponsorship. You know, we have flyers, we have posters, a website, everything, of course. I met with one attorney as I was sharing this with her, and she said, Leslie, this paper you brought to my office costs money. You know, everything, there is a cost to everything. And so, of course, you can also be a sponsor financially, and, of course, we'll promote your name on the flyers and the advertisements, the logos, and having the opportunity to actually present at a workshop. And being a preferred provider for those people who actually do need to get covered. And one thing that's important about those ambassadors is that they do, if it's an insurance producer, they do have to be able to offer every type of life insurance, because we know that there is no one type that is the best. And so that's very important, because that's one of the reasons that I started Challenge 57 was my aunt who passed away. I call her Auntie. She died at the age of 94, but her insurance that she had expired in her 70s. And so she was no longer covered, and no one had had that conversation with her, because she had outlived her husband, she had outlived her son, she had outlived almost all of her siblings except for one, and that included my mom, who was her youngest sister. And so this beautiful woman, when she passed away at the age of 94 in 2012, she had no insurance any longer. So we know that there are different types of insurance that some people may need. Term is not always the best option. It depends on what your situation is. And then permanent may not be the best option. It depends on what your situation is. But you have to know what those different types are so that you have the right thing in place for your situation.
Let me tell you what I love about what you just said at the end. For those of you who were really paying attention, it wasn't about her trying to give you insurance that's going to benefit them. It's about what's going to benefit you. So take a note of that, because when we start dealing even with what we do here at PRF, this whole field of conflict transformation and creating this safe place for people to get education, to understand the biblical foundations for the various areas that we're dealing with, and to be able to open up at some point or share certain things or share their testimonies or whatever needs to be shared so that people get blessed by it. It's not about us. It's about you. And I think people need to hear that because, again, this whole thing about trust is important.
Yeah.
And trust will cause you not to do something. And I could tell you, the enemy does not want you to trust, because the enemy would love to see turmoil and confusion once any of us pass away. And as believers in particular, we were created in his image and after their likeness. And when we become believers, now we say we're Christians, right? Or believers, which means that we have connected and accepted Christ. And the enemy gets so happy that Christians, especially, or believers, don't have life insurance. Because it's like, you know what? All that talk Rev did, see, the enemy going to have folks talking like that. All that talk that Sister Such and Such did, she's been in church all the year. And they're not just going to talk about the family. They're going to also talk about the church. Man, that church is supposed to be all big and bad. And look at them selling chicken dinners and fish dinners and the GoFundMe accounts. And oh, my goodness. That does not make the believer, the family, the church of God look well in the public eye.
That's right.
So for the non-believer, okay, well, y'all can't even bury your dead. Why want to be part of that? So there's a lot more at stake. There's a whole bunch of things that are at stake. And I would tell you, I don't think anybody on the team would have a problem with it at all. But I would tell you that we are definitely going to be an ambassador or a sponsor. And we're definitely going to be champions. So everybody here at the PRF table, we're going to do our part. I can definitely get us to be champions. Individually, as a team, we can definitely get that word out. And social media is one of our greatest tools and assets to be able to do it, because we're able to reach a whole lot of people, and we're also in different areas. But we're going to do that. So I give you our word. That we're going to do that. And also, just look for us. We could talk offline about, you know, what we need to do specifically to be an ambassador or a sponsor, because we know that we're running down the same lane. We are really both trying to make sure that we do our very best to educate people in the various areas that God has called us into. And I got a thumbs up from one of the people on the team. So, that's what it's about. It's not about us. It's about other folks.
If
we don't come together, if we don't come together to address the needs of the people, then what are we really, really doing? Our foundational scriptures with PRF is Acts chapter 2, 42-47, and 2 Kings chapter 4, 1-7. And both of those are about the communal response to the people. I mean, there's more to it, but if those who had didn't help those who did not have, then we couldn't look at that as a model church. So it's
That's
the
right.
same thing with the various ministries and businesses. And I'm glad to hear that there are other insurance companies. Again, I want people to hear that, because it could, if you were just an insurance agent, then it's easy for somebody to say, well, they just try to get business for herself.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned other people that are doing the same thing that may offer some different products. But at the end of the day, who cares?
That's right.
The only way this number of 57 is going to go up, right, is for people to get covered. And since we can't
That's right.
all do it by ourselves, the only way that is going to happen. I mean, I don't know how to make it any plainer than that. Mama is sitting quiet. Listen, Leslie, I don't know if you scared Mama or what, but Mama usually is not this quiet.
I'm not.
I am just listening. I mean, I'm just learning, you know. And as you were speaking, I just know someone that, you know, have a very serious health issue. And as we know, when you have health problems, it's hard to get insurance and some won't even cover you. Or you have to wait, if it's a life policy, you have to wait 2 years. So you can get, you can get it, but you have to wait 2 years before it goes into effect. So God forbid if something happens to the person before the 2 years is up, you have now invested your money into this policy, say a year and a half, and then the person dies, you know, just before, then you're not covered, you know. So this just really, I've just been really pondering on that, you know what I mean. But I do know someone is very, very, very sick at this time, but they don't have any insurance, and they can so far has been, it's been rejected because of their, you know, they call them one of the big ones, you know, health issues,
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know.
Yeah, and definitely when it comes to people who may be uninsurable, that is, you know, one of the things that, you know, you unfortunately look at that and you go, wow, now they're uninsurable. You know, so that's one of the reasons you look at getting people to get covered at a younger age. But for those people who may not be uninsurable, it's just that they simply may pay more for their insurance than others will. You know, they have, you know, it's important for them to not just assume they're uninsurable, but actually go through the process of finding out so that they can get covered. And sometimes that does cost more than what someone else may pay for insurance because of the issues that they have. But there are companies that will cover them. And again, it's just going to be a matter of how much does it cost to get covered.
And now some of the ones that I have dealt with because of the issue is are the ones that say, okay, for two, you know, you'll have to be into it at least 2 years for them to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they'll give you, you'll get the insurance, but then you pay more, you're correct, but then you have to wait for 2 years. Now, this has been my experience.
Yeah, and I am, my husband can probably speak more to it than I can, but I will tell you from experience what I've heard him deal with some of his clients, that he's been able to get them covered, and if they had a stipulation where they weren't able to have it, the premium or the actual face amount paid out for 2 years, they did get all of their premium back that was paid. It's called return of premium. That was returned to them. So that is important for them to know, too. They don't lose out on that money. And then, of course, also, you know, so that's important to know. And then there are some that have graded death benefits where the first year they may pay a certain percentage and then the next year they'll pay a certain percentage, you know, during that 2 years. So that's one thing that's important about working with an insurance broker versus just an insurance company, because a broker is going to have access to more companies than just a single company. So that's another thing to educate people on is, you know, you don't just want to talk with a company that only covers one company and one product. You want to focus on companies that can actually shop it around so that you can get covered by the best company and that best solution for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Something that came to my mind was being uninsurable is no excuse. Pay now or pay later. Somebody's going to have to pay.
That's right.
It is a family member or the family who may not have the funds, so it causes them a financial strain. It's going to happen. I mean, you know,
yes.
People don't let folks just sit in the vault, you know. I mean, James Brown was a whole different story. It wasn't because nobody had money to put him in the ground. But that's not the norm, you know. People are going to do what they have to do. Somebody's going to sign. And see, and everybody around me knows I've been doing this too long. God has had me on this battlefield of with PRF for 8 years. We're in our eighth year. Eight means regeneration, new beginnings. So
yes.
We've been laboring for seven. Now we're in our eighth year as this ministry, and some things got to change. We can't go back and continue focusing on stuff that was going on in the second year. No, we got to deal with what's the newness of right now. And other folks have to get it. And everybody knows around me that knows me. I'm not about to put my family in jeopardy, right? I'm not about to not pay my rent. I'm not about to not pay my car note. I'm not about to put myself in some. I'm not about to do it. So if my family ain't got their affairs in order, doing what I do for everybody else in the kingdom of God, y'all let me know when the time to come. I'll come on up when y'all get everything together. People can say that sounds crass. That's not Christ-like. Yeah, it is. It's love because I'm pouring out. I'm doing not like Jesus, but, you know, the Bible talks about how Jesus sweat blood. I sweat. It's blood, sweat, and tears that come into putting out this for PRF. And, Leslie, I know, you know, y'all, it's emotional. Right? It's draining physically and spiritually what we do to try to help people live life and live life more abundantly, which is John 10:10. So that's how people should be able to live. And I don't think there's an excuse. The only excuse is if you don't know. That's a difference versus
that's
you
right.
refuse to do. So I'm glad that y'all are doing y'all workshops. I'm so grateful that God has us in a position of doing our learning sessions in the various areas that we have in PRF and that we can work things together. So, you know, the Bible talks about no schism between the people. So you don't have an excuse. It's not one against the other. I don't sell insurance. So the best that I can do is give you what God's word says in relation to making sure you put things in place, take care of, you know, give an inheritance for your children's children. I can give you all the spiritual side of things. We can pray for you here at PRF. We can have you down in these learning sessions. We can educate you on things on Facebook and the website. But once you go through all that, if there's not a Leslie there, the Baldwin's there, somebody else there that could actually go through the rest of the paperwork with you or whatever else you need to do, we're only, again, it's the ham without the burger. It's the peanut without the peanut butter without the jelly. So We can't have it like that. We have to continue to do it in the way that God would want us to do it, because at the end of the day, our efforts are pleasing to God. I know it. Your efforts, Leslie, no, I know it. They're pleasing to God because y'all are helping people. And that's really the essence of what Christ said in his word, love ye one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me tell you why I also say something about no excuses before we get ready to wind down for tonight. Y'all know I'm big on Black Friday. I just hate it's even called that. But y'all know I'm big on that day after Thanksgiving and that Saturday after Thanksgiving and that Monday after Thanksgiving and the Monday before Thanksgiving and then everything that happens up until Christmas and what happens on Christmas and what happens after Christmas and what happens on January 1st when people are taking stuff back. Y'all know I just hate it. I just do not like it. But here's one reason why I say there's no excuse for not getting yourself covered or for us not helping others to get covered. But I look at the statistics. I'm gonna just go back to last year because y'all know I do this every year. Online spending for Black Friday was $2,932,000,000. The average person... Now, listen, the average person spent $403 on Black Friday. 2014, $1.5 billion, $380 per person. 2013, $1.3 billion, $407 per person. The point of this is this. If the average person spent $403 on whatever they spent it on, you can't tell me that people don't have the money to get life insurance.
That's right. That could be an annual premium for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and we understand, let's be fair, we understand that that's an average. So that doesn't mean that everybody had $450. That includes somebody that only had $35 to spend. But mm-hmm. we look at what the average is, and we can say that can, you know how well that can knock up, and I said it right, how we can knock up that 57 if people took that and put that into an insurance policy.
Yes.
I shared this last year, and I share it every year. People die during the holidays. That's rough enough already as it is. But what mm-hmm. adds to that is that people don't have their affairs in order. See, you can't take that TV back quick enough to go put some money up to bury. And everybody ain't going to take their TV back.
That's right.
Everybody not going to take their iPad back. Well, you know, little Mary Sue, you know, she need that for school. Okay, well, what else are we going to do? Let's do it. Let's do things in a way that God will be pleasing with us. Because none of this stuff that people are spending on, this is just retail stuff.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, let me share this with you. From November the 1st to November 26th, in 2014, $17 billion were spent. So if $17 billion was spent, you can't tell me that people do not have the money to take care of what we're talking about here tonight. You may not have the whole. I'm going to even concede that $403 average, or let's go 2014, that $380 average, I'm going to concede. And I'm going to say, how about you just take your first premium, your first 2 months, instead of buying stuff that's not going to last, that moth and rust will destroy? Because that's what
mm-hmm.
that's what people are really spending it on.
It's really
how
what
about
it is,
just,
yeah.
And Leslie, I'm going to probably try to get with y'all because I'm willing to make a challenge for some other folks. And so here's the deal. Everybody knows me, Leslie. Y'all still learning me. Y'all still learning me. I'm kind of crazy to some folks. But I may even get with everybody and say, let's put out a challenge that we'll pay your first month for you or your second month for you if you do the first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. Once we put something like that out there, not saying it yet because I need to make sure I talk to everybody on the team, but if we do something like that where you do your first, we'll do the second. Up to a certain number of people, of course.
Yeah.
Then that means you still got to come to the table.
That's
so
right.
We can give incentives all day long, but you still got to come and do your part. That man in John chapter 5 who was lame for 38 years, Jesus said, take up your mat, rise, take up your mat and walk.
Yeah.
The Bible said right after he said that, instantly the man was made whole, but nothing happened until that man actually stood up himself. Jesus didn't help him up. It didn't say he put him up by the right hand. That man did what he had to do. And that's another statement to us as men. No man out here should be sitting out here without having life insurance.
That's right.
Especially if we have children.
Yeah.
So y'all got me riled up. We gonna have to keep on doing this, Leslie. We got to keep on doing this because folks need to hear this.
It's so important. I'm going to throw this in here before we have to wrap up because I want to talk about these crowdfunding platforms. You know, I think it's so important for people to know what they're spending their money on. But, and you're mm-hmm. right, someone is going to have to pay, and it usually ends up being the public that pays. These crowdfunding mm-hmm. platforms like GoFundMe.com, you know, that's one of the reasons I started Challenge 57 was seeing those growing every year and every month. You turn around, there's a GoFundMe, and I looked at the statistics in 2014, and there were over 22,000 open funeral campaigns on sites such as FundMe.com, and they had collectively mm-hmm. raised $40 million. $40 million had been raised. Now, the average funeral campaign, however, the statistics said, is that they only raise about $2,200 per funeral campaign. Now, we know that's not enough to pay for a funeral. $2,200 is not enough to pay for a funeral. And then on top of that, what most people don't realize is on those crowdfunding platforms like GoFundMe.com, you have fees and commissions, and it's up to 10% of the total amount that's raised or donated. So not only do you not have enough for the funeral in the first place, you're paying 10% of it in fees and commissions when you could have just purchased a life insurance policy. So the bottom line is someone is going to have to pay. And whether it's the family coming up with the fund somewhere or the public helping to pay through a GoFundMe.com account, someone's going to pay. So why not get the protection that you and your family need?
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, as a valid statement, while you were talking, I just went to GoFundMe and I just put your city of Columbus, Georgia, on the first one that comes up. $7,700 raised by 134 people, $2,700 raised by 45 people, $7,500 raised by 92 people, $2,300 raised by 20 people, $495 raised by 12 people, $955 by 16 people, $8,000, $3,000, $5,000. It goes on and on. So first of all, there's no consistency. $1,000, $1,600. Man, look. At the time when it all goes down, that is not the time to have to raise it. And
that's right.
Yeah, I would love to have you back on some more shows so we can keep on talking about this, especially up until the time that your event is out there, because it's important. I think it's really important. I feel it's important. More people need to hear it. And I think there's more to this conversation. I just know that there's more to this conversation because I'm ready to go off about this GoFundMe account. Let me go ahead and close this out right now.
I would love to come back on. Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. Well, with that, Mama, before we do that, Leslie, can you just tell us one last time for those who may not have been on at the beginning half hour of the show, please tell us the website again, where to reach you on Facebook, website, all that information so that there are no excuses on getting involved in Challenge 57 right now.
Absolutely. The website is challenge57.com, and we are also on Facebook. And the Facebook page is facebook.com/challenge57. And that's where they can find us. The workshop this month is October 27th at 6:30 p.m. at the North Columbus Library in the large conference room. But, again, we are looking to do these workshops in every possible place that we can. So we look forward to being able to add more locations and places that the workshop will be held.
Sounds good. Well, once again, we thank you so much for just being with us on this evening. Thank you for being with us at our 4 p.m. show. It has been amazing. It's been an amazing day. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. It has been my pleasure.
Oh,
thank you
goodness.
So much for inviting me.
Well, we're gonna do it. So, hey, we would love to do it again next week. We can talk about it because next week is open. And, again, we want to just make sure that this message gets out to as many people as it possibly can. So, Mama,
yes.
We're going to see you. We'll see you soon.
Yes.
Thank you for taking your rightful seat at this table once again. And we're going to go out with my good friend a little bit, Earth, Wind, and Fire. So we will see y'all next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the PRF table. Visit us on our website, prfministry.org, and you can find us also on Facebook, facebook.com/PRF. You can see everything that we're doing on our Facebook page, all the courses that we offer, all of the times for the radio shows, how to connect with us on our radio shows. And again, we love y'all. That's why we do what we do. God bless y'all. Have a great night.